Radiolab is supported by the John Templeton Foundation, funding research and catalyzing conversations that inspire people with awe and wonder. Learn about the researchers making the latest discoveries in the science of well-being, complexity, forgiveness, and free will at templeton.org/podcast.
Radiolab is supported by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate. Then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Wait, you're listening.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
You're listening to Radiolab.
Radiolab.
From
WNYC.
See?
Yep.
And NPR.
Jack?
Yes.
Listen to this just for a second.
Well, they're building a gallows outside my cell. I've got 25 minutes to go. And
is that Johnny Cash?
Yes, it's Johnny Cash, and he's singing a song about the deep importance of mathematics in your life.
I got 24 minutes to go. Well, they gave me some beams for my last
meal. There's no math here. What are you talking about?
You know, there's a lot of math here because, you see, what he's doing is he's moving to his extinction, it seems. But he's being very careful to calibrate.
I got 22 minutes to go. Well, I sent for the governor and the whole darn bunch with 21 minutes to go. And I sent for the mayor, but he's out to lunch. I got 20 more minutes to go.
Oh my God, we're going to go all the way to one? I feel like I've been listening to this song for 3 hours already. The numbers are making it tedious. If I were him, I'd lose the numbers.
You'd lose the numbers?
Yes.
You can't lose the numbers. You cannot lose the numbers because numbers create order in your life.
I could lose the numbers. I could survive an entire, well, my whole life without them.
That's just completely ridiculous.
Easily.
No.
Try me.
All right, let me just ask you something very simple.
Yeah.
You go to buy some M&Ms and you have a $5 bill in your hand and you give it to the vendor and the vendor gives you back the M&Ms and what?
No numbers required. I hand him the bill, he hands me some change. I just go by trust.
You go by trust.
Yeah.
He asked you how old you are. What do you say?
I'm middle-aged, I tell him.
Hey, listen to that. You hear that? Suppose that you're late for an appointment or something like that.
Mm.
Yeah? So yeah. You call up and you say, I'm going to be 3 minutes late, 5 minutes late, 10 minutes late?
How? I usually just wait for the call before I leave.
I know that.
Which you know is true.
I know it's true.
So yeah, don't need them. Don't need them.
You're a test. You're taking a test in school. You get a 98. You get a 52. You don't care?
Pass, fail.
How much gas is in your car, Jed?
I wait for the light to come on.
Suppose you want to call me, right? Yeah, and you can't remember my phone number.
Two words.
What?
Speed dial.
How many words?
Oh, crap!
You see, you gotta use numbers.
I got 2 more minutes to go. I can see the buzzards. I can hear the crows. 1 more minute to go. And now I'm swinging, and here I go. Oh, 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 oh.
Is that how it ends?
Yeah.
That's a great ending.
An ending made possible all thanks to the disciplined use of numbers.
Yeah.
And that's going to be our hour. What do numbers do to us and for us?
Or don't do for us? Get what do we have? We have
going to have a detective story, a love story, some Nazis, and lots of numbers.
I'm Jad Abumrad.
I'm Robert Krulwich.
This is Radiolab. Stay with us.
Shh. So, Chad, do you want to introduce this this person?
This is little Emil. He's
Hi, Emil. So, how old is he now?
Yes, he's hungry right now. He's about 30.
Carla, how old is he? 36.
At the time of this recording, he is 36 days old.
Well, I mean, you must have wondered, do you think he has any sense at all of numbers or quantities or anything?
What do you mean,
anything?
Like, can he count? Is
I'm
that what
I'm
you're
not asking you can count, but like, do you think he has a numeric sense at all?
Do I think he has a numeric? No. No, I don't think he knows that that is his hand that he's chewing. So I don't think there are any numbers in there. In fact, I'm pretty sure there aren't.
Well, actually,
Lulu, you should introduce yourself to Emil.
Hi, Emil.
Emil, this is our producer, Lulu Miller.
And by the way, Jed, while you were on paternity leave, we sent Lulu on a little mission to ask, where does a number sense come from and how soon does it arrive in a person?
Hello?
So this is the first guy I spoke to. His name is Stanislas Dahen.
Yeah, speaking.
Who's he?
He is a neuroscientist in Paris.
So we've been brushing up my English for a few minutes.
Currently, he's like the godfather of this research.
Really?
He wrote a whole book called The Number Sense that talks all about what babies understand.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And he said that for a long time, people thought that babies came into the world just empty.
Piaget and many other thinkers thought that there is what people have called the blank slate.
That we could only learn numbers if we were taught them.
Yeah, that's what I think.
But now we know it's just completely wrong.
And how do they know this?
Well, experiments.
Right.
Lots and lots of baby experiments.
The equipment we have is a set of little sponges which contain a very small electrode that you can place on the head of the baby. It's a little net.
And these babies are how old?
In this case, it was babies of 2 or 3 months.
So he plunks the baby down in front of a computer screen. And on the screen are a bunch of little pictures.
Like, little ducks, for instance. It's always a set of 8 of the same object. So you do 8 ducks.
And what he sees is that at first the baby's brain is a little excited about getting to see ducks.
Mm-hmm.
And then it slowly, the firing just kind of fizzles out.
Another 8 ducks.
And then at some point, suddenly,
he changes it to
8 trucks.
And he sees a spike in brain activity.
In the, what we call the temporal lobe.
Meaning the baby can notice that change.
Yeah, but that's not numbered.
No, I know. He's just getting started. Because Stan runs the whole thing again, starting out the same way.
8 ducks.
But then,
ducks,
instead of changing
ducks,
to trucks,
ducks,
he just changes
ducks,
the number.
8 ducks. 16 ducks.
And once again, the baby notices the change. But now, it's in a different part of the brain.
What we call the parietal lobe.
So the suggestion is, according to Stan, that they're noticing that this is a different kind of change. That in some sense, they're noticing this is a change in quantity.
Which is very important because it means that even in newborns, they have in their minds and in their brains an intuition of numbers.
Is he sure that they're seeing numbers, or maybe they're just seeing a change in the pattern?
Some more.
Yeah.
Well, sure. What they're good at is making these gross distinctions, like 8 versus 16.
Or, say, 10 and 20.
You know, and as the difference in number gets smaller and smaller, then they're not so good.
There is no baby that will ever know the difference between 9 and 10. These numbers are too close together.
But it's not quite as simple as you might think. According to Stan,
what is most extraordinary, I think,
the way that they're actually experiencing quantities is not just a dumbed down version of what adults do. It's a completely different version of what adults do.
Mm-hmm. They seem to care about the logarithm of the number.
The what?
The logarithm of the number.
You mean logarithm?
Yeah.
Sorry, my English is getting really bad.
No. Logarithms.
I don't know if this will scare the people who listen to this show.
It scares me a little, but it's actually not that bad.
You can think of it in terms of ratios.
First, think about you.
Meaning?
Us, how we think about numbers.
Okay.
Imagine in your head the distance between 1 and 2.
Okay.
What is that?
1.
Right. Now imagine the distance between 8 and 9.
1. Also,
they feel like the same distance from each other.
Yeah.
But that's because we think of numbers in these discrete, ordered chunks.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
But now, if you were to think about it logarithmically,
like the baby,
the distance between 1 and 2 is huge. It's this vast space. And the distance between 8 and 9, ooh, tiny.
Why is that?
Well, because 1 to 2 is doubling.
Ah,
but 8 to 9...
It's a ratio of close to 1, really 1 point something.
Huh.
Now, here's the spooky thing about this. You might think what must happen is that eventually as we grow up, we just naturally switch from logarithmic thinking to the numbers we all know now.
Uh-huh.
But this is not true.
According to Stan, if left to your own devices, you'd never switch.
What do you mean?
You would stay in this logarithmic world forever.
So we've done this very funny experiment in the Amazon with people from the Amazon who do not count. Basically, in their culture, they do not have number words beyond 5 and they don't recite these numbers. So what we found is that these people still think of numbers in a logarithmic way, even the adults. What that means is that if you give them a line and on the left you place 1 object and on the right you place 9 objects.
You got that?
Uh-huh.
And he asked them, what number is exactly between 1 and 9?
Okay.
So you'd say?
5.
Exactly. But
what they put in the middle is 3.
3.
Wait, help me here a little bit. So
the property of the logarithm is that each time you multiply the number, you move by a constant displacement.
Okay. In the log. So this is a bit tricky, but the gist is, if you're thinking in ratios,
uh-huh,
and you're starting at 1, then you multiply by 3 to get to 3.
Right.
And then hey, we multiply by 3 again to get to 9.
I see. Oh.
So those are equal jumps on either side.
Huh.
3 is to 1 as 9 is to 3.
Get it?
Yeah, well, it's such a sophisticated way to go about thinking about it.
Yeah, to us, but not to them. That feels intuitively simply like the middle. Dozens of people did this without hesitation.
Huh.
I mean, this experiment gives me chills. These are the numbers that we all, for want of a better word, naturally feel.
At least that has been my theoretical claim for many years.
Hmm. And I don't quite know how to phrase this question, but is it almost like the way we think about numbers with an equal distance between 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 is wrong?
You know, I wouldn't go too far.
But then I talked to Susan Carey.
I'm professor of psychology at Harvard University.
And she said that numbers as we think of them today are certainly made up.
Those are human constructions.
And even somewhat at odds with how we feel numbers intuitively.
That's right, they are. So there is the problem.
Then how do we ever come to understand the numbers we know now?
That's a $64,000 question.
She says it happens gradually.
Okay, don't touch the microphone.
Yeah. Over a couple of years.
Can you count?
Yeah.
Let's hear.
One more quick introduction. That is
Mina,
who you might remember from the laughter show.
Yes, you've met Mina before.
And her mother, producer Amanda Aronchik.
She will be 2 in a week.
2.
Yes, it's her birthday.
And we've called them in today because of an experiment.
An incredibly simple set of tasks.
That Susan told me about.
If you have a 2-year-old at home, you can do these tasks.
So we're going to play a game. Okay.
Money.
Yeah, so you put a bunch of pennies on the table.
I'm going to give you some pennies, okay?
Money.
Okay, just a second. No, let mommy get them for you.
And you say to the child, can you give me one penny?
Can I have one penny?
And the child very carefully picks up one and hands it to you.
Money.
That's right. That's one penny. Thank you.
Young 2-year-olds, almost all can do that. Then you ask for 2 pennies.
Now, can I have 2 pennies?
No.
No? Please, can I have 2?
It doesn't matter what you ask for. They just pick up a handful. And hand them to you.
You have more than 2 pennies. You have like 1, 2, 3, 4.
And so they've given you 4 pennies. And you say, is that 2? And they say,
yeah.
Sure.
Right? Yeah. And then you say,
can you count how many pennies
you have?
Well,
can you count and make sure?
How many pennies is that?
2.
So they go 1, 2, 3, 4, and you say, is that two? They say yes.
My pennies.
Oh, okay. And sometimes they count.
How many pennies is that?
1, 2, 2, 2. I mean, so it's like they somehow know that all of their other words contrast with one in meaning. That is, they're giving you a number, and they're giving you a number more than one, but they haven't the slightest idea what two is or three is or four is or five is. And they don't know what two means for 9 months. And they're in that stage for several months, and then they become three knowers, and then they become four knowers. That process takes a year and a half.
In other words, even though it sounds like Nina understands numbers like we do, she's probably still living in the land of that baby math. But there does come a moment when they finally step away.
Can you sing that song?
And it happens right when the kid's about 3.5 years old.
What they do, I think, this is speculative, but
after years of everyone around them saying,
count.
Can you count how many pennies you have?
This is something parents do.
1, 2.
They practice counting with children.
Can you count for me?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Can you do 4, 5?
7, 8, and 9. The last one's 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Even though the kid is baffled by these numbers and they don't know what 5 or 6 or 7 means.
4, 5, 6, 7, 8, and 9. The last one's 10. 1, 2, 3.
At some point, after enough pressure,
count.
8 and 9. The last
count.
10.
They just sort of
count.
Throw up their hands.
Count.
And believe the song.
That's a very bold leap that children must make. And so now what 5 means for the child is 1 more than 4.
5.
And what 6 means is 1 more than 5.
6.
But now you've got integers.
7. 8. 9.
We're all sort of like relying on this song. That
yeah, 1, 2, 3.
We just that one day decided, okay, that means something.
That's right. So this is a trick.
What does she mean by that? Trick. Sounds almost like a dirty word.
she doesn't use it like a dirty word. She says it's a wonderful trick.
The point is, once you have that trick, you build on that.
And that opens up the whole world of mathematics to you, and we can build buildings and launch rockets into space.
And no other animal has invented that trick.
But I can't help feeling there's something about this that's a little bit sad.
Why?
Well, just the idea that to step into this world of numbers, we all had to leave something behind.
What you were born with.
Yeah.
But no, look what you get on the other side, though. You get to play and have remarkably interesting, if you like math, you get to play with deeply abstract and beautiful thoughts. So.
Yes, yes, and that's great. But
so do you feel sad when somebody's good at trapeze work? No, that's just something that they're good at, and they practice it and they learn it. Just like different talents, that's all.
But Robert, I think I know what Lulu's talking about. I mean, it's refreshing somehow to know that the numbers that we use day to day are somehow made up. Because sometimes the numbers, for me at least, feel like these hard, fussy, foreign things that don't feel real. They feel actually the opposite of real.
But are you sure that real isn't just unfamiliar or a little strange? I mean,
foreign, yeah, sure.
Because before you could walk, when you were just a crawler, you know, toddling was kind of unusual. And then toddling became kind of an adventure, and then that became kind of usual. And then
eventually you do walk. But there's something about numbers where I feel like, at least personally, I never learned how to walk. And I think there's a lot of people listening right now who probably feel that way about numbers. So maybe logarithmic people.
Come on.
2, 6, 5, 3, 5, 8, 9, 7, 9, 3, 2, 3, 8, 4, 6, 2, 6.
Yes.
Thank you very much for that lesson.
Lulu, stay strong in your opposition to integers.
Yeah.
We'll be right back.
Hello there, this is Amanda and Mina, and we're going to read the credits. Okay, Mina, you ready? Can you say Radiolab?
Radiolab.
Radiolab is funded in part by the Alfred P. Sloan Foundation, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, and the National Science Foundation.
Amina, can you say National Science Foundation?
Radiolab is produced by WNYC and distributed by National Public Radio.
Good job. Okay.